neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Imke, your host. Maybe you've noticed, but there's a bit of an odd intergenerational calculation that happens around social issues. Simply put, we sort of blame our parents' generation for getting us into whatever problems we have, and then we look to our children's generation to find the solutions. Magically, the generation in the middle, people like me, just sort of shrug its collective shoulders and doesn't do the heavy lifting on setting policies and creating solutions. Now, I'm not saying this is good, mind you, but maybe this has always happened. We look to the youth to solve the problems we helped to nurture. Today, we talk to a young entrepreneur and social activist, and throughout our conversation, I keep thinking it's such a good thing that many young people don't share the dour pessimism of their elders. Change can happen if we just get out of the way.
Didn't think I'd ever go close to agriculture. My big plan was that I wanted to go to Wall Street or Bay Street, and I wanted to be a corporate lawyer, and I was training in my coveralls for a power suit, and that was going to be that. So if you look at a lot of the solutions that people are doing around food insecurity right now, it's these massive like geodesic domes or big shipping container gardens. But why does it have to be large scale?
Some of you will already know a part of this story. A few years back, a group of students at Memorial University came up with a proposal to develop a household-sized hydroponic growing unit to increase food security in vulnerable regions, like our own province. These were students who were part of Enactus, an international organization that nurtures the links between entrepreneurial skills, business sense, and the common good. The students called their project SUCCEED, spelled capital S-U-C, capital S-E-E-D. They honed the technology, set up production employing at-risk youth in building the hydroponic units, and entered some national and international competitions, and they won. These wins not only affirmed their confidence in the project's value, but attracted investors and, frankly, changed their lives. Today, I visit with the CEO of SUCCEED at their office in the Genesis Center, part of Memorial St. John's campus. Even the lifeless architecture of a modern academic office suite cannot suppress the creativity and excitement in the room. Join us. The chairs are more comfortable than they may appear.
My name is Emily Bland. I'm the CDO of SUCCEED. I grew up on a chicken farm in Wooddale, Newfoundland, Labrador. We did a lot of egg production, but then also in my backyard, we had cows, horses, cash crop, kind of a little bit of everything.
Did you ever think back then that in some way that experience was going to mold your life, your early life anyway?
Never. So as a kid, we used to have a running joke that the Easter egg doesn't come until we finish packing all of the Easter eggs. So we started to pack eggs in the morning, and as a kid, I didn't think I'd ever go close to agriculture. My big plan was that I wanted to go to Wall Street or Bay Street, and I wanted to be a corporate lawyer, and I was training in my coveralls for a power suit, and that was going to be that. But it's funny how these things happen. I ended up at Memorial University in the business program, part of Enactus, a volunteer organization, and somehow found my way back into agriculture again.
How did that actually happen? So you're headed for the world of three-piece suits, and all of a sudden you get into a contest.
Yeah, so I joined my commerce degree in 2012, and I had my eyes were set on either going to the States or going to Toronto or wherever I was going to end up. I was doing my business degree with the plan to go to law school in New Brunswick afterwards, but then got pulled into the Enactus Memorial Group, so a volunteer group of students where you're challenged to create projects that address social and economic and environmental challenges, and then you compete in a regional and international competitions on the work that you do. So I started with a team, got involved with numerous projects, and then we kept talking about food security needs. So the rising price for the cost of produce in Labrador and Northern Canada, but also the poor quality that you see in some of the produce here, and the fact that trying to get cilantro to make different Indian dishes is impossible half the year. We just kept talking as a team, there got to be a way to do something, and I kind of went back to my agricultural roots and where I grew up and said, hey, like, I know an answer to what we can do here. I played around with hydroponics as a kid and kind of regrowing lettuce in like bottles of water. So kind of tied in my roots, and we started doing one other agricultural project with Enactus first, and then we started SUCCEED, and then my heart was in it and I knew this was exactly where I belonged. So it wasn't where I expected I was going to end up, but I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Yeah. Were other members of your team also with background in agriculture, or did you have to kind of convince them of the importance of it?
There's definitely some convincing there. I think at the time I was the only farm kid on the team. everyone kind of understood the need for food security and for fresh produce because we see it in our everyday life. But definitely convincing people to grow produce in water instead of dirt was took a little time, but they were very supportive.
If you were to start again, is there anything you'd do differently?
I think a big part, or one thing that I definitely tell myself and tell our team at the time, was to dream bigger. So we started this off with the idea of putting 15 small hydroponic systems in Labrador, and we were convinced that we'd solve food security if we could get 15 like home grow tanks in Labrador. And then that 15, after an article that went out in the Telegram, turned into 100 people across Canada wanting to buy them. So even at that time, like, we thought 100 was this lofty goal at this unattainable thing that we were going to set out to try and do. And then you fast forward, we're almost at 1,000 units now. We have partnerships with multinational organizations, and to think that that was possible 2 years ago when we had started Succeed, like, I could have never dreamed that it is what it is today.
What's the target number now? How many do you need? It used to be 15 and then 100. And
our big goal right now is to hit 10,000 by 2020. 10,000.
And it's not just in one kind of location. You've got them in homes, in schools.
Yeah. So we have 250 systems operating in elementary and high schools, mostly in Atlantic Canada and Nunavut, but operating in every province right now. We're doing programs with retirement homes, so allowing seniors to grow fresh produce indoor without any accessibility challenges and without having to weed or to remove the snow. It's something that's easy that you can do indoors. We did a program, a pilot, with Correctional Services Canada, teaching job training skills. We've been working with soup kitchens, allowing chefs to grow different herbs that you can't get locally and get some international herbs on the table as well.
Now, some people, they hear the word hydroponic and it sounds like high tech. Oh my gosh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
How easy or hard is it?
It's so easy. So it started off as people floating rafts over fresh water and actually growing produce and, like, regrowing lettuce, basically. Oh, okay. What I was doing as a child. Well, I'd argue that it's more simple than growing outdoors. So you're controlling exactly what the plant's getting at different parts of its cycle. Our systems are pretty easy. We give you everything that you need to grow, just add water. So you put water, nutrients, turn on a light, turn on a pump, and press go.
Now, one of the interesting things about your organization as you got going is that the people who made it were people who really could use that opportunity.
So when we had gotten this big 100 system goal, we were working with Choices for Youth to try and figure out a partnership that we could work together. So Choices for Youth works with at-risk and homeless youth between the ages of 16 and 29 and kind of provides them with all the supports that they need to get back on their feet. So we pitched it to them and said, hey, we have this opportunity here to build 100 of these systems. They're easy to use. It's transferable skills, repetitive skills. Is there a partnership here where we can work together and provide job training and job security to at-risk youth? So we created an incredible partnership with them that the youth not only get job skills, but they get a competitive wage. They get workplace health and safety training, financial literacy training. They get all the supports that they need to hold a job.
So things are changing in terms of the food system, obviously. I don't have to tell you that. You're part of that change.
Yeah.
You're also of the generation that's part of that change. But what do you think people want from their food anymore?
I think you want accountability, and you want to know where it's coming from, how it's got there, and what's come in contact with it. Like, growing up on a farm, I've had the opportunity, I've been privileged to understand all of the efforts and the work that goes into actually creating our own food, but also the importance of making sure that people are accountable for it, that things are growing through the proper grading systems, and that people are really staying connected with their food. One of the most heartbreaking things that I've seen in the industry in the past couple of years is that kids in this generation, a lot of them think that produce just shows up at the grocery store. They see roots that are on a potato, or the leaves that come out of the top of the potato, or vines that strawberries or grapes or whatever produce it is, and they don't understand what it is or where it came from. And I think there's a connection that we've started to miss with our food. So it's understanding where it comes from.
So you're saying it makes a difference if it's grown in Guatemala or the Goulds.
Yeah. And it's good to know that. It's good to know how far your produce is traveling, how fresh it actually is, who it's come in contact with. If you look at the food regulations, they all differ from country to country. Yes, we have a huge demand for food coming up in the future, but it's putting more and more pressure on us as consumers to make sure that we're making smart purchasing decisions. We understand where our food's coming from, and we're supporting the farmers who are doing it right.
Is there a piece of music that you hummed when you were trying to think of your ideas that I'd put underneath this at some point?
I've been trying to think of something. We were brainstorming as a team, and Old MacDonald Had a Farm came up.
Was there a song that you played when you went up to the stage and you got that big award? You know, sort of like, hit your fist in the air?
This Is Me is kind of our big, or like my jam right now.
I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, I'm gonna send a blood, gonna drown them out. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, 'cause here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen. I make no apologies. This is me.
That's Kayala Settle and the Greatest Showman Ensemble with This Is Me. It's a song about resilience, about believing in one's own potential, about unleashing our own future. Look out, 'cause here I come. Today I'm speaking with the CEO of Succeed, Emily Bland.
One of the things we're trying to do is get more people of all ages into farming and food production and food processing and distribution and so on. You've obviously been part of starting a company around food. What are some of the challenges? Like, how do we make this slightly easier? Are there some things that we can do to promote young entrepreneurs?
I think it's bringing people in at a younger age. Okay. So I think my respect for the agricultural sector came from seeing my parents and seeing my grandparents spend so much time and dedicating so much of their life to creating a sustainable agricultural sector. And I think kids aren't getting that as much now. So you have programs like Agriculture in the Classroom or Succeed in the Classroom that are starting to try to tackle this. But there's still a big piece missing because I think it needs to be brought more into your home life as well. So bringing kids to the farmers markets, letting them see farms, I think people need to promote it more to youth as being an actual viable career. And it's crazy when you think about it, because 1 in 8 jobs in Canada are in the agriculture, agri-food sector. But how many kids are growing up right now saying, hey, I'm going to be a farmer when I grow up, or I want to produce honey, or I want to do something along that. So we need to start to bring kids in more at a younger age when they're making those career decisions or thinking about what influences them. Yeah. Part of it might be what happens with the media right now. So how many really exciting shows are out there about farmers?
<That's>
but
right.
You have things like Suits that are making Wall Street and being a lawyer sound like the thing that you want to strive to as a kid.
Yeah.
So that might be another side of things, creating exciting shows and radio programs.
Maybe you could do a reality TV show that could follow you and succeed around.
There we go. But it needs to get brought in more, I think, at the home level, but also probably at the entertainment and media level as well.
Sometimes we get on this train where we keep talking about the difficulties and the challenges of growing food in Newfoundland, Labrador, the climate, soil, all that sort of thing. What are some of the, on the other side, unique advantages about this province?
I think there's three big ones. One, we're lucky to have a government right now that is really supporting and really pushing agriculture. We have incredible federations that are supporting around it, so there really are that supports from more of a structural and a government level to help new farmers get started and to bring them into the different networks. The second one, we have a lot of space. So whether it's farmland or it's indoor production, there's a lot of space and a lot of large buildings across this province that aren't being used to the capacity that they should be. And third, as Newfoundlanders and Labradorians, we have that pride for things produced locally and things produced here. So you have the whole province, whether it's from one tip to the other, that want to see you succeed and want to push you and want to help you. So if you can get to the point where you are producing and you're making products, the new farmers market just opened and that place was packed. But it's
crazy.
It was amazing. Yeah. But there's the right supports to put into place. So if you can take that jump into agriculture, yes, you want to. We only have, what, 100-day growing season here, or there are some challenges, but there's going to be challenges everywhere. If you go to Toronto or somewhere in Ontario, boutique farms are a dime a dozen, and there's 100 people doing it, and there's not as much support that you can get around it locally. But here in Newfoundland, you can find that niche and you can find your market.
Since you have to innovate, how do you find out your new ideas? How do you get challenged? Is there a secret?
For me, I think it's always staying in touch, so reading newsletters that come out, staying in touch with farmers, staying in touch with people who are doing things in the tech side, just keep everyone talking. Newfoundland, as great as we are, sometimes we stick in our silos, so you have farmers in one silo, you have business people in one silo, and tech engineers in another one, so making sure that there's always connections and ways to flow, so going to events that typically wouldn't be ones that I'd go to, and talking to people, seeing what they think, and bringing all those ideas together.
Right now you're making hardware, technology that people use to grow food. Is part of your plan at some point to actually have large banks of these and become a food producer yourself?
I think there's opportunities to do it partnership style. So we've talked to a couple organizations and been thinking about doing it locally now, working with different at-risk demographics, having them kind of Lego chain our systems together and do different types of food productions, whether it's one place is producing lettuce or kale or different herbs, or working with restaurants to outfit their basements with a way to grow fresh produce. So we're on the track. Our system redesign that we have coming out will have more features that allow you to daisy chain them a lot easier, but we're definitely thinking about it.
Are you looking at different crops too? I'm sure you're continually pushing the margins in terms of what will grow in your system.
So we've been mixing it up lately. I grew a pumpkin a couple
Excellent.
Of months ago. Now it only turned out to be the size of my fist, and I had, a 35-foot vine wrapped around my basement, and it took 6 months maybe.
Great.
So I can't say I'd recommend it, but you can do it. We've actually been talking to a couple of researchers over in the west coast of Canada that are looking at doing root crops hydroponically.
Yep.
So doing your potatoes and your more hardy vegetables. You'll see some exciting things come out from them, but we're staying in touch with them for sure.
You want a variety of nutrient-dense foods available as well, especially in areas where you're using that. We think of that as needing soil, though.
So typically, they're using a couple of different high-dense liquids to actually grow it, and because the water is so dense, I think the roots aren't growing the same way.
Yeah.
Or they're working on something.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting to see what they come up with, for sure.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that our government, provincial government, has targets in terms of moving forward with agriculture. If the Minister of Agriculture were to call you up now and say, Emily, I need one or two things I need to do before the next election. I need some successes here.
Okay.
What, do you have advice that you would give?
Put 16 hydroponic systems in every home in Newfoundland. No. I think one thing would be to not always think that the answer to our food challenges in Newfoundland need to be large scale. So if you look at a lot of the solutions that people are doing around food insecurity right now, it's these massive geodesic domes or big shipping container gardens. But why does it have to be large scale? So if you look at the challenges that we do have around agriculture in Newfoundland, a lot of them are the electricity costs and they're the input costs. So why not take it the other way and start using simple solutions? So start pushing that we have more backdoor gardening programs or hydroponic growing programs. Start getting consumers empowered to grow their own food instead of expecting large farms to pop up everywhere and feed everyone.
Yeah, that sounds like you might have had some things to say about the Sprung greenhouse that was built some years ago. go.
Luckily, I wasn't around then. Yeah, but definitely. And yeah. I think that was a whole other challenge, too, even around like the logistical side of things.
Yes.
So the flights that were coming in and out of Newfoundland at the time and bringing those cucumbers to the right market.
Yeah, the average Newfoundlander didn't really eat cucumbers at that time. So it fits as well. It seems like that focus on self-provisioning that a lot of Newfoundlanders do. So you're selling something that makes that tradition possible more months of the year.
Yeah, and it's keeping it in your home. It's still allowing you and your kids to watch things grow. One of my favorite parts about it is that we've kept the technology out of it from a high level. So it's not agriculture where you click a button and everything just grows and it magically appears up, because that's not realistic. That's not what agriculture was built on. So our systems, yes, they do need a little bit more maintenance. You need to add water, you need to add nutrients, but that's the great part of them.
That's the hit song, This Is Me, suggested by my guest today, Emily Bland. According to a curious theory called nominative determinism, we can sometimes come to follow a life path that has qualities referred to in our names, like a doctor with the last name of Payne or a farmer with the last name of Field. But for my guest today, this is clearly not the case. If I were to find adjectives to describe the life of Emily Bland, well, Bland is nowhere on that list. To give you a flavor of the excitement of the Enactus events that she was involved with, here are a few clips from those events. First, we have her speaking during the pitch of the Succeed team at the final round of the Enactus World Cup 2016.
Our province is facing an uncertain future. And to make matters worse, we're living in isolation. We're importing 90% of our produce, leaving us vulnerable. We only have a 72-hour supply of food at any time. And when this supply is cut off because of harsh weather or ferry delays, our grocery store shelves are left bare. Our unreliable food supply has led to high cost, low quality, and poor availability. And in northern communities like Rigolet, Labrador, things get even tougher. The community of Rigolet has inspired each and every one of us to no longer allow barriers to dictate not only our teams, but our province's future. Like true Enactus volunteers, when we're faced with challenges, we turn them into opportunities, and we refuse to let other people write our stories. At Enactus Memorial, our story is of resilience and using sustainable social enterprise to truly change the world. And we're starting right here at home.
As a result of this pitch, here is a rather crudely recorded announcement of the winner of the World Cup.
2016 Enactus National Champion is Memorial University.
You really should watch this online to take advantage of the ecstasy of jubilant young entrepreneurs crowding onto the stage, jumping in the air. Next, here's an excerpt from an update of Project Succeed given at the Enactus Canada National Exposition in 2017.
To educate our Canadian students on the importance of agriculture and eating healthy, we launched Project Succeed in the classroom through a three-month hands-on curriculum. 8 months ago, Tim Hortons recognized the impact of this program and gave us quite the challenge. Put systems in elementary schools across Newfoundland and Labrador. So we did. Now, we have systems in 102 classrooms, educating over 2,300 students. And last week, we received the news that we have been waiting for. Tim Hortons was blown away by the impact of this project, and later this month, we're sitting down with their senior executive team to develop a plan to put systems in every elementary school in Canada. Not only is this an opportunity to improve the education of over 1.6 million Canadian students, but the sales will fund an additional 2,400 systems across the North.
And it doesn't stop there.
No, it doesn't stop there. Let's continue on with our conversation with Emily Bland.
If the electricity costs go up next year, is that a big part of the cost of operating these?
So right now, the electricity cost and the nutrients and the seeds that you use for a year works out to be around 30 cents per day. And with 22 cents of that is the actual electricity cost.
Yeah. It's too bad there isn't kind of a rebate for electricity used.
For food production. There we go.
There's another policy we can put forward.
Call it Premier Ball.
Yeah. One of the things is that the number of schools are getting this, and you've had a major sponsor who's assisted with that. Do you get to go to the schools and feed off the energy of the students when they get the system?
Oh, it's my favorite part. So as many schools as we can, we do try to go out to or do different presentations and kind of bring in the community. But when you get kids, see kids getting so excited about growing broccoli, tomatoes, and kale and lettuce, like, that's so exciting. I know going up through the school system, for me, agriculture was doing the little bean plant in a newspaper, and half the plants didn't grow and no one got excited about that. But watching kids get so excited about something that means so much to me is one of the most rewarding experiences of all of this. Yeah. And when you start to change those mindsets, like, I'm excited to see how that affects families and communities. So if your kid's coming home saying, "Hey mom, I want fresh kale for supper," you love that. And then you see parents' diets change or grandparents' diets change, and people start to incorporate more fresh, locally produced vegetables into their diet.
This is putting you on the spot, but you have one at home, I guess.
Four,
okay. Are they the first models, or every model, every improvement you try it out?
I have one original and then three of the current systems that we have right now. So I haven't bought like fresh kale or lettuce or anything in 2 years. So
what do you grow in?
I always have one kale because I eat so much kale. Then I have one that has just a variety of herbs in it. One that's usually a combination of lettuce, spinach. Sometimes I'll do a bit of Swiss chard in it, or I mix that one up. And then I always have an experimental system. Okay. So that's where my pumpkin came from. I'm growing chocolate habanero peppers now. Yeah.
Excellent.
So we've been bringing in seeds from like different plants that you can't get here and just giving them a try. So we'll see how those go.
People get hung up on this term organic sometimes. Is it organic?
So it depends on where in the world you are when you ask that question. Yes. Okay. So technically right now in Canada, unless it's grown in soil, they won't give you your full organic certification. And we've been playing around with a couple of different nutrient combinations, whether it's algae or it's kelp or it's algae blooms or whatever it is, to bring more of that natural produce growing into it. But right now, the Canadian government hasn't changed the regulations.
What's your favorite meal of local food? If you're going to cook for somebody from away, big investors coming in from New York City with their three-piece suits.
You're getting Jinx dinner.
Okay.
Salt, beef, and all the trimmings.
That's the favorite, eh?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Especially going home and getting my grandmother to cook it. Oh, there's nothing better. I haven't mastered salt beef yet, but it's coming.
Salt beef in a box, wouldn't that be a thing? All the things you need for salt beef.
There you go.
A small cow. It could be tricky, I guess.
Might be a little difficult.
Well, they have this Beyond Meat now. Maybe you could have Beyond Salt Beef.
There you go.
The plant-based salt beef. I don't know. This was a project that's become a job. Sounds like you're willing to see where it goes next, too.
Yeah, so I was supposed to be working with Ernst & Young right now. Quit my job after university. I'm all in. I believe that succeed is answer to a problem that we have here in Newfoundland, but it's also an answer to a bigger problem. We just hired on a head of operations this week, which is super exciting. Still working with Tim Hortons, rolling out cross-Canada expansion, which is exciting. We're developing a couple new products that we have in the hopper around hydroponic lighting systems and kind of a little bit of everything. We're doing a lot.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks so much for taking the time to join me and tell your story once again.
Yes. Thanks. Thank you.
That's Emily Bland, telling her own story of how the potential of local food production lured her away from a possible misspent life in corporate finance, and how a student project became a passion and a career trajectory. Look Succeed up on the internet, succeed.ca. Follow them.
My respect for the agricultural sector came from seeing my parents and seeing my grandparents spend so much time and dedicated so much of their life to creating a sustainable agricultural sector. really exciting shows are out there about farmers. But you have things like Suits that are making Wall Street and being a lawyer sound like the thing that you want to strive to as a kid.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes or for more information, go to www.fittoeatnl.ca. For music today, Emily Bland suggested This Is Me by Kayla Settle and the Greatest Showman Ensemble. The theme music, Cuckold Hen, was done this week by Andy Eversole. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
See kids getting so excited about growing broccoli and tomatoes and kale and lettuce, like, that's so exciting.